Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives. Amen. So there's 120 of them gathered together in the room, and there's this big wind that comes, a violent wind that comes. I mean, see, it's not a gentle wind. It's a scary wind. These tongues of flame appear, and they start speaking in other tongues, right? What are we to make of that story? This sounds like one of those stories, I mean, like a lot of stories in the Bible. It's like, oh, really? Did that really happen? Did it happen like that, or was there some embellishment that happened along the way? Is this one of those stories where it's actually, you know, maybe it's not factually true, but there's some sort of mythic truthfulness to it, and we just have to hear that? Like, what do we do with this story? Because it feels supernatural. Right? And what do we do with things that feel supernatural? Saturday mornings when I was a kid, I used to get up early, 6:30 on a Saturday morning, so I could watch the Justice League. Superman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Batman, and all of these folks had superpowers. You know, and when you're 6 years old and 7 years old and 8 years old and you feel small and relatively powerless in the world, this notion of being able to fly and be strong and, you know, leap, I mean, there's something very attractive about superpowers. When I was 9 and 10, I started reading about the Greek gods and the Roman gods, you know, and there's something about Zeus and being able to throw thunderbolts, and Ares being able to win battles, and Athena, who's just really smart, and Eros, who's capable of, you know, commanding love, right? Those are divine superpowers. They seem like divine superpowers. The world has changed. I mean, Superman, Wonder Woman's still around. Great movie, saw Friday night. And Ares is in there, too. So, yeah, check it out. If you want to appeal to that adolescent within you, go see it. But there's also the X-Men, right? Which is another form of superpowers. You have Magneto, who controls magnetic forces, and Iceman, who controls ice, and Storm, who controls the weather, and Mystique, who shapeshifts, right? We're surrounded, and I mean, we have all these stories and myths around supernatural superpowers. So I bring that to this story. And this story is based on a prophecy from Joel. And Joel is this prophet who lived, you know, 300 to 800 years before Jesus lived. And the prophecy in Joel is, it says, in that day, in those last days, I will pour out the Spirit of God upon all flesh. And their young men and women will prophesy. Their sons and daughters will see visions. Their old men and their old women will dream dreams. Like, initially, those sound kind of like superpowers, like divine superpowers, you know, visions and prophecy and dreaming dreams. And yet, as I think about it, prophecy is the ability to see things clearly and speak the truth. It's about insight. Their men and their women will be able to speak the truth. Their sons and daughters will have a vision for the future. They'll have a capacity to hope and to have a vision, a clarity of this is where we can go. This is what could be. Their old men and their old women will dream dreams. I mean, the old have experience. They have lived life. What a dream is, it's a matter of recalling what's been and bringing it to bear in the present for the good of what's happening in the present. So I'm like, oh, all right. Is that what it means for the Spirit of God to be poured upon all flesh? What's curious is that all of these, Luke and Acts, this story today, when John, our gospel text from John, Jesus actually, he appears and he says, peace be with you, and then he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. In today's story in Acts, the Spirit comes and in a sense of, you know, this wind and fire. Paul has an experience of the Spirit. Paul also talks about the gift of the Spirit. Like, all of those authors talk about the Spirit as if it's something that is given to you. as if it's something that you receive. It's not something that just kind of is there in the ether. That is, I mean, no, it's something that comes through faith. It comes through this process of believing, and you know, and in Christian history, there's people who have this sudden kind of, you know, rushing experience of the Spirit, and there's other people for whom it doesn't happen like that, but it's this gradual, slow growth into something. But there is this real sense that the Spirit of God is something we grow into and receive within the tradition. And there are gifts of the Spirit, which are kind of like the superpowers of the Spirit. But what's curious to me again is, what are these gifts? It's the gift of teaching. It's the gift of service. It's the gift of speaking wisdom. It's the gift of healing. It's the gift of hospitality. Those are the superpowers of the Christian faith. And the adolescent boy in me is like, yeah, that's pretty lame. That's not what I was hoping for, right? But the more adult part of me is like, wow. Because it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Like, that's the outcome of having the Spirit of God. And again, there's, in a world that, you know, bearing the murders and the terrorism in London last night, you know, the division in our world politically and the increasing acrimony, increasing alienation, right? People dying from fentanyl overdoses. That the supernatural gift of God is love, is peace, is patience, is kindness, is gentleness. Like, those, that's the outcome of the Christian superpowers. And quite honestly, that's more astonishing, more surprising, more unbelievable than the ability to control weather or fly like Superman or do any of these things, because in some sense, those things are more fundamentally transformative than anything else. My prayer for us is that we would get that Spirit, that we would get those gifts, that we would become those kind of superheroes in the world. People who are kind, people who are faithful, people who bring peace, people who bring joy, people who really know how to love. Amen.